We thank you again for your love and your mercy. And Father, we thank you that you have made a way for us. And Lord, help us to grab a hold of that and understand it and apply it to our lives. And help us, Lord, to listen to what Harold has to share with us that you have given him to share, that we can apply it to our hearts. And Lord, that we can grow spiritually, Father. And Lord, right now I want to also bring the missionaries to you that are out serving you away from home. We think of Skylar's and Chad's as they're gone overseas. And Lord, just be close to them. Lord, I know that through these holidays they're away from their families, and it's difficult, Lord. And but Lord, we know that you have provided everything that we need, and help us, Lord, to trust you. And Father, we pray also that you would be with Kayla and Elizabeth, Daryl and Scott, Jared Summers and Roslyn. Lord, they're all, some of them might be spending time with family, but they will leave again. And just Father, we pray that you would just be close to them, help them, Lord, and give them guidance, Father. We pray also that you would be with this Lester Yoder family that has lost a loved one. And Lord, we pray that you would also work in their hearts. And Father, most of all, we just pray for John Freeman's family. Lord, there again, we just ask you for a miracle to work in their hearts. Help us, Lord, to look at our own hearts. And Father, we pray that you would just work in their family. And Lord, if this is what it takes to reunite them, Lord, do so. And Father, we thank you for John's friendship. Just thank you that he was part of our lives. And Lord, in many ways, maybe he helped us grow. And just ask you that you would guide us now and keep us. In your holy, precious name we pray. Amen.
Let me pray for you, Sam. God, I thank you for Sam and Miriam, for the love you put in their heart for John, and for many others, Lord. I just pray, God, that you bless them with peace, with joy, with many blessings. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for those songs, Kenlon. I noticed especially the words in number 52, tell me the story of Jesus. Tell of the years of his labor. Tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected and poor. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he lives again. I have a message this morning that I want to share with us that the Lord had laid on my heart some time ago. He's been developing this. I've shared some from this in the past, and I want to share some more here today, things that the Lord has been just laying on my heart and opening to my understanding as I looked at this passage in Isaiah 53. So I'd like to start out this morning by reading Isaiah 53. Isaiah is writing to the nation of Israel and Judah. And he's declaring to them the judgments of God for their sins. And he's also bringing a lot of hope. Isaiah is the prophet that most declares Jesus Christ. He depicts Jesus Christ in a number of ways and with clarity that we look back on and we say, only the hand of God could have done that. And so when we look at what he has to say, we want to remember that the Spirit of God was moving him to write these things, and therefore our benefit. We're the beneficiaries. We're the ones that receive the benefit from what he was writing. And as well as all the world, one of the things that Isaiah talks about over and over again is how Christ will come to all nations, to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. So he's talking about Christ, and in verse 13, 14, and 15 of chapter 52, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ prophetically. And then here in chapter 53, he starts out by saying, who's going to believe this report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And the arm of the Lord is always connected with salvation. He weighs the worlds. He measures the oceans in his hand. He creates with his mouth, but always his arm is connected with salvation. So who is going to believe this report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, and here he's talking about Christ, for he shall grow up before him, the Son before the Father, as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form. In other words, when we look at him, there is not a physical attraction there. He's not some macho man, muscle guy. No, that's not him. He doesn't have a handsome face. There's no form or comeliness. The comeliness there has the idea of majesty. He didn't come as a king. Has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, we are not attracted to Jesus Christ because of his appearance. If you would see him, if we were able to have a picture, a real picture of him as he lived here on earth, you would look at him and say, oh, not that good looking. That's what Isaiah is describing here. Now he goes on, and he describes what his life is like. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. And this word sorrows here doesn't give us the full meaning of what's being said. It kind of veils the meaning. The word here actually is pain. A man of sorrow, a man of pain, physical and mental anguish, and acquainted with grief. And that word grief there, in a number of places, we're not going to take the time to go there this morning, but in a number of places, that word grief there is used as sickness. He's acquainted with sickness, with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. When we saw him, we ignored him. We disregarded him. We turned away from him. He's talking about us as humanity. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was looked down on. Even his own brothers, his own family, said he was crazy. And we didn't look at him any differently than that. We didn't esteem him. In other words, he was despised. He was put down here. And we didn't elevate him in our own response. Surely, he has borne our griefs. For sure, he has borne our griefs, our sickness, and carried our sorrows, our pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded. He was profaned. He was pierced. For our transgressions, get the picture. I did the wrong. He got the sword, the spear. He was bruised, crushed for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is taken from prison and from judgment. Justice was not done in his case. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And that word grief there is the word of pain, not the word of sickness. He's put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You remember last Sunday evening, by the way, those of you that weren't here missed an excellent program. Very, very worthwhile. I really enjoyed it. You remember that we talked a little bit about Migdal Eder and how in Jesus' time they had a place there where the shepherds raised the lambs that were going to be sacrificial lambs. And as those lambs were born and they inspected them, they checked them for any blemishes or any spots. And by the way, Peter talks about this, about Jesus. A blemish is something they're born with. A spot is something that they got from their environment. And Jesus had none of those. He was without sin. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And they'd wrap those lambs in swaddling cloths and lay them in this stone manger. And that's exactly the picture of Jesus. So last time I preached, I talked about I need Jesus because fig leaves won't cover. And we went back to Adam and Eve and we noticed that Adam and Eve had sinned. And God had to do something because He had told them, in the day you sin, you will die. And God killed some animals to cover Adam and Eve. The animals died in place of Adam and Eve. And all through the Old Testament, you see this happening. And so today, I want us to think about, This message is for me as much as anyone. I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you, okay? I need Jesus. And I stand here and I declare that and I confess that and I need Him because I need a lamb to carry my junk. We call it baggage. In our day-to-day, a lot of times. We say that person's got a lot of baggage. You know who's on that picture over there? That's me. It's you. It's all of us. We gather our junk around us, and we hang on to it, and we won't let go of it, because we think it's so good. How many of you would like to have that junk that that guy's got there today? You think it's valuable? I'd like to just ask us some questions. It's not going, David. Oh, sorry. Maybe I didn't have it on. Okay. Do you have sin? If I asked you today to raise your hand, how many of you would raise your hand and say, I have sin? Some of us are kind of slow. Because we've been told that if we say we have sin, that means we're not going to heaven. But you know what 1 John tells us? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And that word, have no sin there, means have it in our hand. God comes to us and He catches us red-handed. It's in our hand. Okay? So, is that something that I have in my life? Sin. What about physical, emotional pain, distress, sorrow? Is that something I have in my life? You know what? Again, a lot of us are not going to raise our hand, but you know what? Every one of us have it. Every one of us have it. In some form or other. Many of us know what rejection is. Many of us know what abandonment is in some form. Many of us know what abuse is in some form. Many of us know so many things. We all have it. It's there. As humans, we have this stuff in our lives. Do we have grief, sickness, suffering? In some form or other, we're connected with it. Whether it's our own or some of our friends or loved ones, wherever it is, it's there in our lives. So what are we going to do with all this stuff that we've got? Many of us carry it as a burden through life. I want you to just think of just a little bit here before we go on. He mentions a number of things here in Isaiah 53. He talks about sin and iniquity and transgression. And if you go back into Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 and 6, where God describes himself to Moses. He tells Moses, I am the Lord. I am merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Why does he use those three words? Let's just look at this just a little bit here. Sin means missing the mark. That means omission and commission. Things we don't do that we should, and things that we do that we shouldn't do as God's children. Tom, has it been your desire over the years to please God? Of course. Have you always done that? No. That's sin. We miss the mark. You look at a target, and there is nobody that can put an arrow through the same hole all the time. It does not happen. That's us as Christians. We miss the mark. Transgression is rebellion. That's God saying, you do this, and you say, I don't want to. I'm not gonna. Now, we're not gonna say that out loud to God, but in our heart we do that, right? God speaks to us, and we say, nah. I'll let that one go. So that's transgression. So sin is missing the mark. Transgression is rebellion. It's sin also, but it covers a little different aspect. Iniquity has to do with perverseness. It's that junk that's inside of us that comes out sometimes, but not necessarily. It might just stay inside of us. And it's there because we are born into the family of Adam, and it's there. So there's three aspects of sin. You know what? I hate to break the news to you, but you've got all three. And so do I. And so does every human being. Now, that's important for us to remember. So he's talking about this Lamb of God that is going to be sacrificed, and he's talking about us. So let's just look at this. I'm not going to take a lot of time. I just want to have us look at this. He talks about my junk. You go into verse 3, he's talking about how we hid our faces. We have wrong values. We didn't esteem him. We didn't think properly of Jesus. And we still have trouble with that at times. We have griefs. We have sorrows. We have no consideration of Christ in verse 4. In verse 5, we have transgressions. We have iniquities. We have sin. We have sickness. We have all this stuff. This is our junk he's talking about here in Isaiah 53. In verse 6, he says, we've gone astray. We've taken our own way. He's describing our junk. And every one of us have this junk in some way or other. Okay? Now, I want us to think about the Lamb real quickly. There's a number of scriptures as we go down through here, a number of verses here, a number of things. But I just want us to just think about these real quickly. Here is how he describes the Lamb. He's tender. He came with no great entrance, no physical attractiveness, no majesty. He's despised. He's rejected. He has pain. He has sickness. He's ignored. He's despised. He's undervalued. He carried our junk. He's unappreciated, he's wounded, bruised, chastised, whipped. He carried all the iniquity of all mankind. He's oppressed, afflicted, slaughtered. He's unjustly condemned. He's cut off, beaten. He died and buried. He's bruised. He has pain, given pain. He's an offering. He has travail. His what was happening in him was like birthing a child. He was bringing birth for us. So he was going through the pain of childbirth in one sense. He's poured out his soul. He counted as a transgressor. He bore our sin and he made intercession. Now, over in Leviticus chapter 16, and this is a picture on the other side here at the bottom. In Leviticus 16, he talks about the sin offering. And it's interesting to me because I was puzzled. Maybe this question comes to you as you think about this. I thought we're talking about a lamb, but we're talking about a scapegoat. So, where does this come out at? Over in Exodus chapter 12, I think it's verse 5, he says, "You shall take a lamb of the first year. It can be from the sheep or from the goats." That's the instruction God gave to Moses. You take a lamb of the first year, it can come from either the sheep or the goats. That answered my question. We're talking about a lamb and we're talking about a scapegoat. We're talking about the same thing. Okay? So there were two goats taken in this time. And it's interesting to notice that Aaron had to first offer a bullock, a steer, a bull. He had to offer that for his own sins and the sins of the people before he could come into the holy place and sprinkle the blood of the sin offering. But they were to take two sheep, two goats, lambs. The one they took and slit his throat and offered him for a sin offering. The other one was called the scapegoat. And the priest would lay his hand on the head of that goat, and he would confess the sins of the nation. And then a man would take that goat and he would lead him way out into the wilderness. And he'd let him go. And he'd come back. Every year. Every year, the people of Israel had the opportunity to watch their junk go out of town on that scapegoat. And that's, you probably can't see it very good from back there, but on that scapegoat are sin all over him. Now maybe you're thinking like I did, a lamb to carry my junk? I need an elephant. I need the biggest and strongest to carry all my junk. But no, we're talking about a lamb. We're talking about a lamb that's able. A lamb who was sent for that purpose. For God so loved the world that he gave a lamb to carry my junk. That's what Isaiah 53 is talking about. So I want us to think about this. I can carry my junk, or I can allow him to carry it for me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This verse just came to me last night as I was discussing this message with my granddaughter. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." your junk weighing you down. Come unto me, the Lamb. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, our junk is something that He has already taken on Himself. What I need to do is place it on Him. And I want you to think about this with me this morning. Because this is important. It's something that's opened up to me in a way that I hadn't seen before. And that is that when we come and we confess our sins to Jesus Christ, we kneel at the cross and we say, Lord Jesus, I confess my sins to you. I want to be cleansed. I want to be free. I want to be born again. You remember the feeling that came in your heart? That burden was lifted. The burden was lifted. My sins are gone. Now, let me ask you something. When I asked you if you have sin, most of you raised your hand. What happened? Your sins are gone, right? You've placed them on Jesus. But we continue to sin. Right? We have sin. We have bad attitudes. We got all kinds of junk. And you know what? With that sin, we can continue to carry that, or we can simply place it on Him because He's already carried it for us. And we can be free. The same thing is true with our pain. All that pain, that hurt that's there because somebody treated me so badly. Somebody rejected me. Somebody did whatever to me. Or maybe they still are. The Lamb carried that. He carried that junk. He was despised. He was rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Somebody, when I was reading some things for this message, I came across something that someone said. They said, you never read in the Bible about Jesus laughing. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I thought, makes sense. Makes sense. He was carrying a weight, a burden. And I don't know about you, but when I start thinking about that, that boggles my mind. It boggles my mind big time. Because I know how much junk I have. Well, I don't know how much junk I have. I know I've got a lot. But I'm sure I don't know it all. The Lord keeps showing me things, and I keep placing them on Him. But I've got a lot of junk. Can you imagine what it would be like if you took your junk and you took everybody else's junk in this room and you tried to carry it for one day? Not many of us would make it. And He took the junk for you and me and all of mankind on Himself. Now, does that mean if I place my rejection, if I place my abuse, whatever junk there is in my life, if I place that on Him, that I'm not going to feel that again? No, but it frees me from the burden. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress, how Pilgrim started out for the Celestial City and he had this big burden on his back. And when he came to the foot of the cross and he knelt there at the foot of the cross, his burden rolled away and it was gone. There's something beautiful that came to me here in this whole thing. It applies to sickness. It applies to pain. It applies to grief. It applies to sin. It applies to all of that. And that is, the Lamb has carried all of that for me. I can be free from the burden of it. Does it mean it's all gone from my life? Not necessarily. I think in relation to sickness, I had to think of a couple of people. Nick Vujicic, life without limbs, no arms, no legs. To me, he pictures someone who has laid the burden of his sickness, of his handicap on Jesus, and he's free. Johnny Erickson Tata is one who has laid the burden of being a paraplegic, of suffering through cancer, of suffering through intense nerve pain, and now facing cancer again. One who has laid the burden on Jesus. And she can go free. I want you to just bow your head, close your eyes. I want you to picture in your mind that scapegoat. Because Jesus actually represents both, or these goats represent Jesus. His blood was shed for our sin. It's because of His blood that was shed that we can be free from sin. But He's also the scapegoat. He's the one who carries all of our junk into the wilderness of forgetfulness, so that it's remembered against us no more. We do not have to carry the burden of it. So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to picture in your mind that scapegoat. And I want you to take your hand and place on the head of that Lamb of God. And I want you to just take this time, take a few moments here, and lay those burdens on Him. He did that for you and I, so that we can be free. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Place that burden on Him this morning. He wants to carry it for you. He's not going to stop you from carrying it, but He's there if you just place it on Him. Let's just take a few moments. I realize this morning's time may not be long enough. I'd just like to encourage you, get alone with God. Get alone with God. And just pour out your heart to Him, the burdens that you're carrying. He knows them already. Don't worry. He just wants you to place them on Him. Whatever they are, He wants them. He carried them while He was here on earth. And He wants to carry them for you today. Right now. And if there's something you're struggling with and you just can't seem to find freedom from it. You just can't seem to find that burden just doesn't go away. I'd be happy to help you. I'd be happy to pray with you. And I'm sure many others would as well. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's in Revelation. That's the song that we're going to sing around the throne. He's worthy because He's carried all of my junk. He's borne it. He's carried it. It's been laid on Him. All of those are terms directly from Isaiah 53. Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. At Calvary. In the presence of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for this beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. Lord, I know that I've only scratched on the surface of what's there, but I thank You, Lord, for what You've been showing me. What I've been able to see and understand and take for my own. And I thank You, Lord, for the burdens that I've been able to place on You and the freedom and the joy that You brought into my heart. I thank You. I pray that You continue to show me. And each one of us, Lord, show us those things that we're carrying that we were never meant to carry, that You carry for us, and help us, Lord, to place them on You and allow You to be our burden bearer, our Lamb of God, that scapegoat that carries our junk away into the wilderness. Never, ever to come back again. We thank You, Lord, and we bless Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.